You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, CPA and Certified Financial Planner and Accredited Estate Planner as well. You can listen each and every week on WDIY.org. That's WDIY.org. So if you're ever outside of our listening area and can't tune into your radio, you can always tune in through the computer at WDIY.org. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is December 5th, 2012. The markets were mixed today. The Dow closing at 13,034, the NASDAQ at 2973, and the S&P closed at 1409. Happy to have you all here. Last week, we discussed planning for special individuals, as we sometimes say, special needs planning. And we had with us attorney Anthony Rahuba from Fitzpatrick, Luntz & Booba, and financial advisor Jack Marone from the formerly NoteHelper Marone, now known as One Financial Services. I want to thank them both for being here. It was a great show, and I appreciated having them and their expertise. Tonight, we are talking about Social Security and Medicare with the great and wonderful Mark Basak from the Bethlehem Social Security office. We are live. Andrea is with us, and she will answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And tonight, I would like to stick to Social Security. Normally, when Mark's here, we have the phones ringing off the hook, and that's the fun of this radio show. So we hope if you have questions about Social Security or Medicare that you give us a call tonight. Mark's a wealth of information. The phone number is 610-758-8810. So tonight we're going to talk about Social Security, Medicare, that there's so much to know and so little time on this show, but we are going to do the best we can, give you some big highlights, and again, take your questions if you'd like to call in live or give your question to Andrea and she'll bring it in. So first, let me welcome to the show the district manager of the Bethlehem Social Security office, Mark Basak. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Lori. It's so nice to be here again.
Thanks. You for being here. He's one of our stars, folks, if you're listening tonight. He always, jinx us. So when I say we always get lots of calls when you're here, I don't want to jinx us. So folks, call in again if you have questions. Mark, just do you want to give us a little bit of tidbits about yourself, about what's going on at Social Security, what you do there, and your goal of being out here spreading the message?
Well, I'm the district manager of the Bethlehem office, and we service the city of Bethlehem and a couple of other boroughs around Bethlehem. And we're one of three offices in the Lehigh Valley, the Easton and Allentown Social Security offices. Right now, it's a very busy time at Social Security because a lot of folks like to file early in a calendar year, and to ensure that their benefits start on time in that calendar year, it's always good to start filing ahead of time. And so even though we're only in December now, many people are filing in order to get their benefits in 2013. In addition, we have folks coming in because of changes and so forth. So it's a busy place, and I've always talked about our wonderful website, www.socialsecurity.gov, and instead of coming into a very busy Social Security office and having to wait a long time, a lot of times folks can have not only their questions answered online, but you can file for retirement benefits online, you can file for disability online, and you can file for Medicare online. I mean, what a fantastic resource. And I think about especially folks with disabilities who are filing their claim and they're not feeling well, and they're dealing with treatment and health issues. And to be able to just sit in the privacy of your own home and take your time working through the claim rather than, you know, dragging yourself out in the winter to file just seems like such a nice thing. So we are busy, and you know, it's a great opportunity to use these other sources. Besides filing online, people can, of course, come into our offices, but we also do a heck of a lot of our services over the telephone. And except for applying for a Social Security card, there is nothing that you can't do over the phone that you can do in person.
And we had spoken a little bit before the show, and you said probably close to half of your beneficiaries of Social Security, when it's time to file for receiving benefits, are filing online. Almost half of those people are filing online now, right?
They are. And
or at least in Bethlehem, I should say.
Well, and when you get into areas like, say, the Philadelphia suburbs, where you have very affluent, well-educated people, you're seeing numbers like 70 and 80% of the people file online. But what's wonderful, the online Medicare claim, and what we're finding, Lori, is so many people are choosing to continue working beyond age 65. And for those people, they still really should file for Medicare at 65. And to do it online, it takes about 15 minutes. We don't, in most cases, need any documentation. And you sign your application electronically. It's just fantastic. Retirement claims may take a few minutes longer, but we're talking about less than half an hour. And a disability claim could be longer, in the neighborhood of an hour to an hour and 30 minutes. But still, when you consider the amount of time it takes to come to an office, park your car, do all the driving, I mean, it's just fantastic.
And I would add, too, that, you know, the government has put, obviously, a significant amount of resources behind the online capability of Social Security. And even advisors, I think, go to the website quite often just for general questions, information, as you said. There's a wealth of information there, not just in applying for benefits. If people have questions, they're wondering, they can do quite a bit of that online as well. And I think that it's worthwhile mentioning that, you know, when we're talking about people who might be applying who are in their 60s, even today, some of those people might not have access to computers, you know, that a younger generation might have. I mean, more and more people are. But if there are people out there who don't have access to computers, and they happen to be your mother or your father, it might be nice if they help their parent do some online applications. So, Mark, if I have my mother, for example, she's, you know, been on Social Security for a long time, but let's say it was time for her to apply. If she came to my house or I went to her house with my laptop, we could sit together and I could help her apply online as well.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, folks, keep that in mind when you're thinking about or talking with your parents or grandparents or whomever who might need to apply for Social Security or disability or Medicare, and they're kind of mentioning it to you, or, you know, worrying about having to find the office or get to the office or drive downtown. They can do quite a bit of this online through the website, and it's socialsecurity.gov. And I type the SSA.gov.
That works, too.
And that gets me there, too. SSA for Social Security Administration. So SSA.gov gets you there as well. So there's online capabilities, and then there is telephone access for folks, and Mark will give you that information a little bit later. And you can also go into the office. But as he said, you know, the Social Security office happens to be a very busy place. And especially for people who have disability claims and they're unsure or, you know, feel like they need a little bit more handholding or questions answered, that allows the Social Security staff more time with those people, too. If you have a very straightforward retirement claim or Medicare claim, it is so easy to do it online. I'm sure that the staff and the people who need that extra attention appreciate people's efforts in doing it on their own. Mark, we're going to take a quick break. The phone number this evening, folks, to call, Mark's here. He's a wealth of information. If you have questions about Social Security or Medicare, give us a call at 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Hi, this is Dina Hall. I've gathered some of my friends to join me in a special WDIY benefit concert as part of the new performing arts series, Ice House Tonight. It will be an intimate night of acoustic music at the Charles A. Brown Ice House on Sand Island in Bethlehem. Joining me will be Mo Durant, Mike Fritz, Dave Fry, Fiona Hennessy, and Chuck Donches. Come join us Saturday, December 22nd at 8 p.m. Tickets are $10 per person and can be purchased in advance or at the door. For more information, WDIY.org.
And welcome back to the show. I have with me this evening the district manager of the Bethlehem Social Security Office, Mark Basak, and he is a frequent guest here on Your Financial Choices. And this is your host, Lori Siebert, and we are talking about Social Security and Medicare. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can call and talk live with us on air, which we like the best, or you can call and give your question to Andrea, and she'll write it down and bring it into us. So, Mark, we were just talking about online access that we want people to be aware of by going to the website socialsecurity.gov or ssa.gov. And you're saying you're very busy in the offices right now. First, let's get a little synopsis of what's coming up for 2013. You said a lot of people are coming in and applying so that they can, you know, start the new calendar year with their benefits. So what are we looking at in 2013? What is Social Security looking like?
Well, the biggest thing right now that people who are getting benefits are encountering is that their benefits are going up. We had a 1.7% increase in the cost of living for benefits. And for, let's say, an average Social Security recipient getting roughly $1,200 a month, that means about a $20, $21 increase. Our Supplemental Security Income recipients, SSI, they're going up to $710 a month. And an important figure for people is the amount that they pay for their Medicare premium. For most people, that's going to be going up from $99.90 to $104.90, or about a $5 increase. Now, one thing that I'm very, very excited about that is a recent change, but we've added some neat functions to it, is if you go to our website, you can open up what we call My Social Security Account. And I know that in the last 10 years, people loved getting our Social Security statements. It was a great retirement planning tool.
We love seeing them. Yes.
Yeah. And unfortunately, because of budget challenges, it's very difficult to mail those out to, like, I think something like 165 million workers. So we can go online and you can actually get that statement information. So it will have your estimate of your retirement, your disability benefits, estimates of what your family will receive in the event that the worker would die, a list of your lifetime earnings. So if a person has missing earnings, or in the case of somebody using your Social Security number illegally, earnings that don't belong there, you'll be able to spot those problems. The amount of taxes that you paid on both Social Security and Medicare. For folks 55 and over, there's great retirement planning information and general information really for everybody. There's a lot of Medicare information on there. And the cool thing about it is after you've looked at it online, you can actually make a printable version for yourself, take that to your financial planner, and discuss where Social Security will fit in. Now, what we're adding to that is the ability for people on Social Security to use that account to change their address, change direct deposit information, and make some other minor changes in their benefit account.
And it's really slick, you guys, the that My Social Security account set up. It's very easy to get to when you go to that website. And in fact, even today, I needed some Social Security information history for a client. And I simply cut and paste that, how to sign up for that, and emailed it to the client and asked them to go online and get their statement. Mark, we have a caller on line one. And we have Jerry. Jerry, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, how are you?
All right. Can you hear me all right?
I can. How can we help you?
I'm calling on behalf of my father. He's 88 years old. He has been receiving Social Security for quite some time. He purchased supplemental. He has supplemental insurance coverage to supplement the percentage above his Medicare. But his income is quite low. It's, he receives around just above $600 per month. And I'm under the impression, I'm trying to find out the threshold of income that he would have to receive that he may be able to postpone or cancel his supplemental coverage because of the income. I'm under the impression there's a threshold of income that he may be able to not obtain the secondary insurance.
Okay, ma'am, did I hear you correctly that your father's income is $600 a month?
Or the Social Security is?
Yes, only he only receives Social Security, and he receives about $619 per month.
And
I'm unable to find out the threshold.
And he has no other income?
He does not.
Ah, and well, if he does not have significant assets, we have a program called Supplemental Security Income, which would not only add to your father's income and give him approximately $130 a month more, but in addition, if you qualify for SSI, you will automatically get medical assistance from the state of Pennsylvania. Medical assistance will basically take care of all of your father's medication needs. And in addition, in Pennsylvania, if you're on Medicare and get medical assistance, the state pays your Medicare premium. So they'll put the $99.90 back in your father's payment. Now, in the event that he doesn't qualify for SSI because of something that I'm not seeing here, the place that you would want to go to would be your county assistance office. They have a program called the Medicare Savings Plan. And the Medicare Savings Plan will also provide for the free Medicare premium that I talked about. But in addition, in Pennsylvania, the Medicare Savings Plan does some of the things that a Medicare supplement does. And so all this would be available from basically through the state. So the first step, I'm going to give you a number, 1-800-772-1213. And what I would recommend is tomorrow, make an appointment for your father to file for SSI. In the event that doesn't pan out, then we will refer you to the county assistance office to apply for the Medicare Savings Program. But I really think that if your father qualifies, this will make a big, big difference in his life, and I don't think it'll be necessary for you to continue to carry those Medicare supplements.
Does that help, Jerry?
Okay. It does. I will work on that.
Okay. Did you happen to get that number down, the 1-800-772-1213?
I did. Thank you.
Okay. Awesome. Good luck with everything, okay?
Thank you. All right. I will help them out. All right.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Great question. I appreciate the call. And that may have been something that we might not have covered tonight, Mark, if this caller didn't call in with these questions. So we appreciate these questions because then we can see all the extra benefits that are out there that some people aren't as aware of. Because when we're talking about Social Security and Medicare, we're usually talking in general. That's the beauty of having this radio show with the ability for people to call in and ask these specific questions. And Mark's the person to answer them. So, folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show, folks. You're listening to me. Sorry. I'm in a funny mood. I'm in a better mood than I was earlier, let me say that. And that's because I have Mark Basak in the studio this evening with me, helping answer questions and running the show, pretty much. We're talking about Social Security and Medicare. We love your questions. They're more exciting to us than talking about the, you know, generalities of Social Security, which is very, very important. But they have a great website for that, which is ssa.gov or socialsecurity.gov. They have a great website for that. So if you have specific questions, tonight's a great time to call. And we just had a call from Jerry who had asked a very good question about supplemental insurance, health insurance for Medicare for her father. And Mark pointed out that if certain people have, lower incomes and maybe minimal assets, they may qualify for either the supplemental, SSI stands for supplemental
security income.
Security income, or may also qualify for help with their medical insurance premiums. And it's very important to know these things, so we appreciate that phone call. Mark, before we had our call, we were talking about a new development at your website, socialsecurity.gov, which is called My Social Security Account, and it's awesome because people can go on there, set up their own account, and get that wonderful Social Security statement that we used to get in the mail a little bit before our birthday. I've really missed getting that, but it makes sense in, you know, the efforts of the government to cut spending and cost, delivering all of those statements to the millions of people that would get them. It makes sense in this age of technology that why print all those out when we can simply go online and see it? And quite often we don't need to print them. We just want to look at them. So Mark had mentioned that they have the estimate of your retirement benefits or an estimate of your disability benefit, if you needed that, how much your family would get, your lifetime earnings. That's always good to review. The estimated Social Security and Medicare taxes you've paid. But then there's also some additional information out there to help people who are considering retiring or thinking of retiring, because it's a very, very complicated decision that is also a very personal decision. So lots of good information there. Mark, people who are thinking about retiring in early 2013, either because they're reaching a certain age or because they're experiencing changes at work, when's the best time of year to apply for Social Security benefits? And where we've already talked about being able to go online or calling in or going into the Social Security office. But what's the best time of year to apply? You said a lot of people are applying now at year end for some reason. I thought it was more related to your age than what time of year, but we'll talk about that. I want to get your response, but I want to give the phone number real quick one more time, 610-758-8810. So when people are thinking about retiring, when's the best time that they should go to apply?
Well, the best time is it usually depends on your birthday, and people, even though folks are working longer and of course living longer, you can still file for Social Security at age 62. So a lot of people are using that age 62 as sort of like the benchmark to go out and start getting Social Security information, even though they may not be filing. I would say for a lot of people, time when you really, really should start giving some consideration is when you finally stop working. That's certainly, you know, a life-changing event for so many reasons. But for many people, that's really the first point that we can really talk turkey about Social Security, because if earnings do affect whether or not we can pay Social Security benefits when people are between the ages of 62 and 66, once you reach 66, your earnings have no effect, and you may start collecting your benefits even though you're making any amount of money. You could be Donald Trump and start collecting your Social Security at age 66. But that period in between 62 and 66, it's a very personal decision. And if you're not working or if you're not earning a lot, I think it's time to check out our website, arm yourself with some information, and if you still have other questions, get in touch with us. But basically what, let's say you're a high wage earner, Lori, you're making $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 a year. The trigger point's going to be when you actually stop working. Now, during a calendar year, if you retire in June, we don't really care what you earned up until June. There is definitely the potential to pay you benefits from July on once you stop working. However, there are folks out there who give up their high-paying job, and maybe they're taking a part-time job as a security guard, or they're working at Sands, making $25,000, $35,000 a year, and we can still pay a lot of Social Security benefits to those folks. And for those people working and making over our cutoff, which currently is $14,640, the best time to start thinking about it is early in the year, January, because then we can use your benefits to sort of offset some of those earnings. Basically, what happens is if a person makes more than $14,640 a year, they lose a dollar in benefits for every $2 that they're over. So a really easy example, you make $34,000 a year, you're going to be about $20,000 over the limit, you're going to lose $10,000 in benefits. Now, if your benefit's only $800 a month, you don't want to file for Social Security. You're wasting your time. But a max wage earner getting a benefit in the neighborhood of $1,800, $2,000 a month, that $10,000 that we're withholding is only five checks. Mm-hmm. So I would say go out, have a ball, work, and get six or seven Social Security checks during the year. So, you know, the message here is there is no answer that fits everyone, but a real critical question is, are you working, and then how much are you making?
Okay. And Mark mentioned that it's critical to each person because there are some little, nuances of all of this. So, and you have to be careful and pay attention to what Mark has just said as well. Mark said between age 62, that's when people can first start collecting, and through age 66, there's this income max that people could earn. Otherwise, you have to start paying back benefits. So at 62, if you file, you're actually filing early. And then we have to follow those rules that Mark was mentioning about if you're going to continue to work, there may be a payback of benefits to the tune of a dollar for every $2 over the threshold of $14,640. So when you collect early, know also that you have a permanently reduced your benefit. And Mark and I are going to talk about that a little bit more carefully but when we come back from the break. But I just want to point out that he was talking about between age 62 and 66, once someone reaches full retirement age, there's a different threshold for a year and then some additional information you should be aware of. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. I want to get the phone number one more time, well, several more times, but the phone number this evening for question folks, 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And welcome back. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and I have with me in the studio this evening Mark Basak from Social Security. He is the district manager at the Bethlehem office. We sincerely appreciate him coming here. He really knows a lot about Social Security at the tip of his fingers. It's amazing. You, too, can get quite a bit of that information at the tip of your fingers at their website, ssa.gov. That's ssa.gov or socialsecurity.gov. And I want to reiterate or highlight a few things that we've said this evening because I think it's important, and I know Mark likes getting this message out. And that is, folks, if you're ready to apply for Social Security, thinking about applying, want more information, tap that website. If you need information on benefits specific to you, they have a great new feature on that website, and it's called My Social Security Account. You can go on the website, set up your own account, and get your personal information that's relevant to you as far as your estimated benefits, your earnings records, your tax records that you've made in the payments you've made in the past. So that is a great wealth of information. I know also on that website, there are different calculators and lots of brochures, Mark. I tap the publications that they have on there all the time. There's publications that say, What Should Every Widow Know? Retirement Benefits. There is one, I think, about families, like family benefits. So there's lots of publications as well that if people aren't comfortable clicking around, I think they can probably just go in there and find the publication as well, get some general information so that they know what kind of questions to ask or have those questions answered by reading the publication, right? It's a lot of good information. So we were talking before the break about the ability of someone when we said, when is the best time to apply? And you said it's age specific. It's a very personal question and answer for people. Getting information ahead of time, I think, is always a good idea. I talk about being proactive. So getting their statement, finding out what they would be entitled to is good. And then asking themselves, how long do I want to work? If I continue to work, how much am I going to make? And if I retire early, before full retirement age, which for people now is age 66, I think.
Full retirement age okay. is 66, yes.
So if I retire before full retirement age, you know, how is my benefit affected? And that is also in their account statement, the different amounts of their benefits if they collect at 62 or full retirement age. So how is my benefit affected if I collect early? And if I work, how do my earnings affect the benefit that I'm getting? So we talked about a threshold for early retirement. In the year of full retirement, Mark, I think this could be a little bit confusing. In the year of full retirement, there's a higher threshold. It's not that $14,640. So if I'm in full retirement age in 2012 and I'm going to make $60,000, for example, for part of the year and maybe retire and have a part-time job the end. How are my Social Security benefits affected?
Well, I love that year when people reach their full retirement age because there are so many exciting possibilities. And in this scenario, $60,000, a lot of people out there will think, There's no way I'm going to get Social Security. Well, what's cool about that year is it's really where does your birthday fall in the year? Because we have a threshold. It's currently just under 40,000, and next year it'll be just over 40,000 for the months before your birthday. So if, for example, your birthday's in February, you reach your full retirement age, then you can make your 40,000 in the month of January, and then there is no cap for the rest of the year. So that's a prorated amount of $480,000. I know there are people out there that make that much money, but there aren't a lot of them. So for most people, if your birthday's early in the year, you're going to find that you can get all 12 of your Social Security payments for the year and continue working at full speed ahead. For folks later in the year, it can be a more challenging thing. Obviously, the more money you make, people who are making over $40,000 a year, that can be problematic. But the bottom line is, if nothing else, from your birthday on that month, you can get your full Social Security even if you're making extremely high wages.
Okay, that's great to know. We have a caller on line one. We have Alan. Alan, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. I'm in Easton. Okay. I have a question for Mr. Basak.
Okay. Go ahead.
I, as a geezer, I'm not a computer fan. And I'm concerned about the nuances and the personal effects. When should I file? Now, maybe not necessarily for me, but for other people, especially when they're earning money, and money may be withheld, and should they file? Should they continue working? Should they wait to file? And my real question is, wouldn't personal contact be better service than just getting on the computer and trying to have a person unacquainted with this try to figure out their situation?
Alan, I agree with you completely. Personal contact is great, but it's not always necessary. But if people have questions, I think the best thing that they could do is call your local office, call the 800 number, get the answers to your question, and you may find that you'll be able to proceed then with filing an application. And that saves you the trouble. Now, in my office, we're very busy now, and you might have to wait sometimes 28 days to get an appointment.
Oh, my.
If you can get that answer over the telephone, you may be able to then proceed and file your claim. Your situation...
Is it possible to call the local office, or do we have to call a national telephone center?
You can, if you call 1-800-772-1213, you will be calling a national toll-free number. We have call centers across the country, and you get excellent service from the call centers. But in addition, every Social Security office in the country, all 1,500 of us, has a local number that you can obtain from 411. You can also go to our website, plug in your zip code. You'll get your local office address and phone number, and you can call us directly. So you may end up talking to the same person who's going to be processing your online claim after you file it. But, Alan, ultimately there are people that are not going to be comfortable with that, and we do offer the same service over the telephone and face-to-face, and people are going to get all their questions answered. What we try to do is, really provide the service that people need. And there are folks out there, let's say you retire from your job, you're not going to go back to work, you don't have dependents, your situation is pretty simple. You can probably proceed and file that online application. For somebody else, they may have questions, how will my earnings affect? Call ahead, and then you can either make an appointment for a face-to-face appointment if you're still having concerns, or you can file online. But, you know, really, we offer so many service options, and I appreciate you giving me this opportunity to show that it is not one size fits all. We will provide the service that you need.
Okay, Alan, does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good night. Thank you for calling. Folks, if you have questions, you can call 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And, Mark, I would think, though, in some respects, it could be end up being even a little bit more complicated than maybe, you know, what your representatives could answer. People have to be careful on what kind of service Social Security is giving them. You're helping people file for claims or decide, you know, maybe should they file or how are my benefits going to be affected by if I work or not. But you can't answer questions about whether their permanently reduced benefit by filing early is going to be enough money for them into their retirement years ever ending. You know, because we run into these questions sometimes as financial advisors. Someone will say, you know, should I collect early? Should I collect late? Should I wait till age? I mean, should I collect at full retirement age? Should I collect at age 70 where they get a premium? And sometimes there's a little analysis that's involved in that. I don't know if the Social Security office probably gives them the numbers they would get, but not necessarily whether that's going to be enough money for them. I don't know.
That really highlights how personal a decision this is. But, you know, realistically, Lori, I talk to a lot of people who file at 62 and 63 and 64. And for most people, they really need this monthly Social Security income to live on right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we have a lot of folks out there who, because they've had the opportunity to plan well and to prepare and save, they have options. So should I preserve my Social Security and in the short run use some of my assets that I've set aside for that? And that is an interesting question. And I think, like, ultimately what people have to think about, whether you take it at 62 or you wait to 70, you're kind of on a monthly continuum, if you will. Sound like we're in a science fiction movie here. If you file at 62, you're going to get 75% of your benefit currently. If you wait till your full retirement age, you're going to get 100%. And if you take it at age 70, you're going to get, wow, 132%. What a fabulous 8% a year. There aren't a lot of financial planners out there who can guarantee an 8% return. But may I add to those people who say, I'm going to wait to 70 so I get 132%, what you're giving up is the principal. Mm-hmm. And all those payments, like say from 66 to 70, you would be giving up 48 checks that if you unfortunately pass away when you're 70 and 1 month old,
right,
probably nobody is ever going to benefit from that decision you make.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe your widow will get a slightly higher benefit. But other than that, basically that money is lost. So there are some advantages to taking the money at 66, even if you're working, and you're saying, hey, I don't need that Social Security. I'm going to invest it. And then I'll get a return. It may not be 8%, but if something happens and I need that money, I have a big pile of money that I wouldn't have. But clearly, for other people, there's a different decision. And it's, I want to preserve that Social Security because I may be around at 95. And if I'm around at 95, getting 132% will sure help a lot more than getting, say, 75% of the benefit that I could have had.
So there's different break-evens on that. We're coming up on our last break. I want to give the phone number again, and I want to, when we come back from the break, I want to touch on something Mark had said. For a lot of people, the decision is they have to have the Social Security. It's a cash flow issue. They need it now. I want to ask a couple questions in relation to that. So when we come back from the break, I'll have a couple questions, but we also invite your questions at 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And we're back. The phone number this evening, 610-758-8810. We only have about 14 minutes left, folks. If you have questions, you got to call in right away. And it's so much fun. The phone number, 610-758-8810. Mark, we were just talking about quite often you find the people who are coming into the office or filing online, they need the money for cash flow. They need it now. They might be 62. They understand that they're getting a reduced benefit. As you said, it might be 75% of their full retirement age benefit. But they're in a pinch. They just lost their job. So they start collecting Social Security. What happens if, you know, 3 months later, 4 months later, they find a job?
Okay.
Are they stuck with the Social Security and then that whole dilemma?
They're not necessarily stuck with the Social Security. They basically have two options, Lori. Perhaps they don't know if that new job is going to last. So what they could do is report to us that they're going to have higher earnings. That may result in us suspending their benefits. And let's say that person goes back and makes $60,000-$70,000 a year and does that all the way up to age 66. When we get to age 66, Social Security is going to recalculate that gentleman's benefit, and we will only charge him with reduction months for the months that he actually collected a Social Security check. So say if he only collected 6 months of checks, his benefit will probably be increased to about 97% of his age 66 rate. That's one option. A second option is that person can just withdraw the application as long as they do it within a year. The problem, though, is you only get one withdrawal in your lifetime. So if your life has another quirk later on, then you won't have that option. But you also have to pay all the money back that you received. Now, if it's only 2 or 3 months, that's easy. A year of benefits is hard for most people, and there's no installment plan. You got to pay the money up front to withdraw. But then it's as if you've never filed, and then when you finally make that decision to file, you will have no impact from that earlier filing. So, and one other thing that I want to just throw out with your scenario. If you lose your job and you need that Social Security money, many people are entitled to unemployment. In Pennsylvania, if you're of retirement age, you can collect both your Social Security and your unemployment. And that certainly, I think, helps a lot of people bridge that gap. With the unemployment benefits, some people can make that decision, hey, I don't want to take my Social Security now. I'll wait at least a year, so I'll get about a 7% increase in my benefit. That's not a bad strategy, too, but you can do it either way.
That's a great point, Mark. And I hope the listeners understand the wealth of knowledge this man has, because that is a great point about if someone loses their job but could be eligible for early Social Security, they could apply for benefits and get unemployment at the same time. Many people might not think that would be an option. So let me reiterate. If you start collecting early and you end up getting a job and realize you don't need Social Security, you could do one of two things. You could stop the Social Security if it's within 12 months, pay back the benefits you received, and it's as if you never applied, but you can't do that ever again, withdraw. And then the second option is because if your income is so high that it's over those that $14,640 threshold, and Social Security realizes that, they will recalculate your benefit and only charge you for the deferral ding, I guess, for that short period of time that you were collecting early and not earning. So it's very important, people, to know if you started collecting early and you've changed your mind and it's less than a year, and even if you don't have other wages, you just have enough assets that you decided, I just don't want to collect now. I'm going to defer. I have enough other income. You can pay it back, okay? It doesn't rely on whether you have a job or not. Mark, with our time left, I'll give the phone number one more time, and then let's switch to Medicare a little bit. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We're going to switch to Medicare. Let me say one last thing about that applying early. I want to mention something. Someone had asked me a question before the show, and I'm just going to answer it quickly, Mark. And that was, someone took a reduced benefit, and then they are now at full retirement age. And they had thought or had wondered if, now that they're full retirement age, can they stop collecting Social Security, defer it until age 70? And in this situation, it's a no, because they're beyond the 12 months where they can withdraw. And they weren't working for this period of time, so there's not that recalculation that Social Security will do. So once you have started collecting, you kind of have locked in your reduced benefit if you're beyond 12 months, folks. So that's why Mark's suggesting you be very, very careful about when you go to collect, make informed decisions, and, of course, use their website or call in to their 1-800 number. But their website is socialsecurity.gov or ssa.gov. And we have Bill on line one. Bill, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. What's your question?
Could my wife, when she turns 62, apply for Social Security based on my income, letting hers, in essence, grow, and then apply for Social Security at age 66 on her own earnings?
Unfortunately, Bill, she can't. She can do that at age 66. When she reaches her full retirement age, she can apply on your record, take half of yours, and at age 70, switch to her own. And again, I'll point out, her own at that point will be 132% of the age 66 rate, so a nice increase. And since she'll be collecting yours between 66 and 70, she'll also be getting a monthly benefit, not as high maybe as her own, but she will be getting it. Unfortunately, if you do that before 66, the law requires that an application on a spouse's record is also an application on your own record. When you're at 66 or full retirement age, you have a choice. So no choice before 66, choice after. So it's a good strategy. It's okay. Just 62 is too early.
Do you both have to be 66?
No.
No.
So, Bill, I'm going to ask for you for Mark. So, Mark, if his wife at 66, she waits till full retirement age, and now she wants to go apply, let's say Bill isn't filed yet because he's still working. Can she apply on his record if he's...
Okay, now, if Bill is not going to take his benefit, he can only do this at 66, and Bill can do what we call filing and deferring. And so, Bill, you would file for your benefits, but you're not going to take them. You want them to grow, but your wife can file what we call an auxiliary claim on your record. And since she at that point will be 66 in this example, she can then collect half of yours, even though you're not collecting.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the folks out there that might have a child under 19, same thing. If you're 66, you file, you defer, and your dependent can collect. If mom stays at home and takes care of the dependent, mom can also collect. So there is that option. Yeah, these are sort of special scenarios. A lot of people out there say, well, you know, that's not my situation. But there's certainly more and more every day that I run into. And the idea that spouses are filing on each other's record after 66, this is becoming quite common. And it really is a wonderful option.
Okay, Bill, does that help?
That's good. Thanks for your information.
Okay, thank you
very
much. Have a good night. Thanks for calling. Thank you. We appreciate it. Mark, with the few minutes we have left, Medicare, what do you want to tell us about Medicare? What's going on over there?
Okay. I think the important thing, we kept talking about age 66. People should still file for Medicare at 65. If you're working, there's a good chance you're covered by your employer's group health plan. You don't have to take Part B of Medicare, which next year will cost $104.90. But Part A is free. If nothing else, you'll get a nice Medicare card, which might get you discounts at your local movie theater or something like that. So it doesn't cost anything. And you can do it online in 15 minutes. When you stop working, that's the time to recontact us about starting your Part B, because when your coverage from your employer ends, you have 8 months to get on to Part B before you face penalties. Now, if you're not working, you want to take that Part B. If you don't take it timely, what happens is when you later decide to take it, 3-4 years down the road, you suffer penalties of 10% a year for each year that you didn't take it. And you can only enroll during a general enrollment period. And as a result, you may have a coverage gap. So folks should really, really file for Medicare at 65, even if they're still working.
Do they have to, Mark? Do they have to file at 65 if they're still working to get Part A?
You do not have to, but to me, it's just playing safe. And it doesn't hurt.
And I would think that an employer might also, I don't know if it would coordinate with their own health care plan. Real quick, we had another call come in off air, and someone was asking about logging in on the Social Security website to create their own account, and it said the logon was locked due to a credit report. A credit agency locked something. So the question was, does Social Security use a private agency, or does that mean you can't create an online Social Security account until you unlock your credit reports? Does that sound familiar
okay.
at all? Have you ever had that?
That is a very good question. It's not that we're involved in your credit or anything like that. We use what's called knowledge-based authentication to make sure you are who you're supposed to be, because you know, we want that account to be a personal account. The service that we use, if the questions aren't answered properly or if there's some confusion with your answer, it may result in the Social Security, my Social Security account being locked. You can come into our office and get that account unlocked. But it's not as if we're sharing your information with credit agencies. What we're using is a service that allows us to basically guarantee that we're talking to the right person or communicating with the right person. And so a lot of the information that's checked out is credit related, like where did you have a car loan back in, you know, 2003? That's the kind of question. And so that's why.
And it makes sense because there's so much, theft, identity theft these days. I think it's okay to, you know, check for that authentication and correction and everything. Mark, we just have one last minute left. I want to just mention quickly, for Medicare information, people can go to the Medicare website at medicare.gov. There's also Medicare information available on the Social Security website, or are you directed to medicare.gov?
It depends on the type of Medicare information. If we're talking about enrollment, visit Social Security. If we're talking about how the benefits work, like will my surgical procedure be covered, go to the Medicare website, which is www.medicare, and again, .gov. Very important.
Okay, and then I also want to mention that Medicare Part D prescription drug coverage runs from October 15th to December 7th. So if you are making changes, you only have 2 days left. The Medicare Part D prescription drug program is available to all Medicare beneficiaries. So joining a Medicare prescription drug plan is voluntary, and participants pay an additional monthly premium. Mark, it was great having you on the show. Last comment, you got 10 seconds.
www.socialsecurity.gov.
Socialsecurity.gov, folks. Lots and lots of great information there, and you can set up your own account now on that website. So check it out. Next week, we are going to talk about tax tips, last-minute tax planning. What can you still do with a couple weeks left? Coming up next, Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention. Be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Andrea. And thank you, Mark Basak. Have a great week, folks.